Greetings and a hearty welcome to you on this day. Glad you are here for Thirsty Thursday, and I pray it's a blessing in your life. Well, we are going to read from Mark chapter 10, verses 2 through 16. And the title of this I'd like to offer is Loving Who Jesus Loves. Loving Who Jesus Loves. This is a text that often tweaks the mind and makes a person wonder in all the things that Jesus had to address in his life. But here's a text where they're trying to trap Jesus, and Jesus speaks a word of life in the midst of that. So this is Mark 10, verses 2 through 16. Now some Pharisees came, and to test him they asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" He answered them, "What did Moses command you?" They said, "Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of dismissal and to divorce her." But Jesus said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, he wrote this commandment for you. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." Then in the house of the disciples, they asked him again about this matter. He said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her, and if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." Now people were bringing little children to him in order that he might touch them. And the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them. For it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. All right, so a challenging text. You heard the part about little children again. That's coming out. I'll talk a little bit more in depth about that. But I want to start out by giving a little more background. You see, the Pharisees had tried to trap Jesus in this dispute going on among the Jews. And based on how one interpreted the law, which came from Deuteronomy 24, verses 1 through 4 here, pulled forward into the New Testament, the question is, what are the proper grounds for divorce? Some said a man could divorce for any reason. Others said adultery was the only reason allowed for divorce. Jesus, however, avoids the legal argument. He's not going to participate in their governmental structure, in their legal wrangling. And he avoided that so that he could state God's purpose for marriage in the first place. Humanity is given the gift of these kinds of relationships in order to bless that individual, to bless that couple, to bless the family, to bless the world. And again, Jesus is not going to get in the weeds on some of this stuff because he knows it's a waste of time. He wants to point to the higher hope and the higher vision. Now, when he goes on a little bit further and they ask him a second time, it was important there in Jewish society at the time, only the husband had the power to decide on divorce. And so what Jesus did there in verses 10 through 12, he included then Roman society in what their law was, where a woman could divorce her husband. So he moves beyond the basic question and moves into a larger society, now more parts of the society included, to say there are other ways that this is happening depending on where you are. And then this scene of the children is a follow-up to what we read a couple weeks ago. And the disciples here are just clearly again told, welcome the children. Remember to receive them and bless them. Okay, so in this story, Jesus is heading toward Jerusalem, and the hope is, as he does this with the disciples, that he can cast a vision for what the kingdom of God is. He knows the disciples and the world needs that. And as these Pharisees seek to address him, they're forcing him to try to take sides because this is called entrapment, and then they can write him off or he can be wildly accepted, whatever the case. But Jesus gives that clear response, simply saying that I think God grieves divorce, right? Because we know humanity grieves divorce. So often that's the brokenness in the relationship. And there are good reasons for divorce to take place. Many, many good reasons. But we know with each reason that's led to hardship, to suffering, to distress, to pain, to brokenness. And all of that is then part of humanity's grief. When relationships aren't whole and well, when they are broken and dismantled, that is something to be grieved. And Jesus knows the hurts of the people of God. Jesus knows how hard relationships are to make work. And so Jesus, I think, speaks life into that, just acknowledgement of that. With the disciples here trying to keep the children from coming to Jesus over and over again, it seems, he just says it the way it is. Let them come to me. And then he says, this is to whom the kingdom of God belongs. And I think this seems like an odd statement to us, but it goes on to a higher hope where he says, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child can never enter it. And I'll touch on that in a minute, but it moves again beyond the child in front of him or on his lap to what's really going on. What's Jesus going to share in God's creation? So some life lessons for our discipleship journey. God's dream, we often talk about, is to remove all that separates and divides humanity. Is that your dream too? That God could help us remove all that separates and divides humanity. One of the videos I show in worship at times talks about the problems of the world and what does the world most need. And one voice that always sticks in my head is this gentleman on the street, on a street interview saying, people getting along with people. To which I'm like, yes, people getting along with people. We have to resist the temptation of using Jesus and using Jesus' words as a judgmental weapon against anyone. And in this text, against those who are divorced. I think Jesus, he transcends divorce here, and his statement is addressing anything that divides, any relationship that is broken. Well, it's also important here to remember that Jesus, had this value for children. But that value shows that God's love is for all. Jesus is drawing bigger circles. Everybody wanted to whittle it down to as though there's just the tip of the pencil. And Jesus is saying, no, you should have an expanding kingdom. Concentric circles going out from the center, from the heartbeat of God, from the love of God, until all are caught up in that gift of life. So the call to receive the kingdom of God as a little child is not so much an admonition to have blind faith in God, but Jesus is demonstrating that just as a child doesn't have the power to bring themselves to God, neither do we. None of us ultimately have that ultimate power. It's God who comes to us. This is the message of Jesus coming to earth, God sending Jesus into the world to feel what we feel, to go through what we go through, to suffer hardship, pain, all of those kinds of things, to live that story. It's God who comes to us. And that, church, again, is called grace. The blessing, the sharing of love is undeserved and unearned. We're the recipients of God's unconditional blessing. Too often, we want to believe that we've done something to deserve God's blessings, but ultimately, we know no one can really boast about how good they are. None of us can save ourselves. The saving activity comes in Christ. We work on forgiveness in our relationship, but the forgiving activity, the ultimate grace, comes from God. So we are to imitate. We are to do as Jesus does, do as God does, the best that we can, knowing that we often fall short, but we get to participate in that way of life that is to produce life. Well, I want to share a couple of quotes here for you today, and these are so helpful to hold account and to keep our toes to the flame and to the fire. This quote is by Lee Camp. He says, "Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord." That's a radical claim, one that is ultimately rooted in questions of allegiance or ultimate authority, of the ultimate norm and standard for human life. Instead, Christianity has often sought to ally itself comfortably with allegiance to other authorities, be they political, economic, cultural, or ethnic. And I'd like to say we might start there, right? We might not know the full story of God. We may not have leaned fully into the death and resurrection, power through weakness, strength through weakness. So those other voices have a grip on our life. They speak more loudly in our life. But as we get to know Jesus, as we declare Jesus as Lord, then that allegiance changes. And we're giving ourselves to something altogether different. And for those living in that time of Jesus, their allegiance was to, quote, their religion or their particular belief system. They had already figured God out. God was no bigger than that. God was done speaking. And Jesus says, no, God is not. And so we're to love who Jesus loves. We're to live into that story. Well, then C.S. Lewis also had a great quote that goes with this. He says, "In the same way, the church exists for nothing else but to draw people into Christ and to make them little Christ. If they're not doing that, all the cathedrals, clergy, missions, sermons, even the Bible itself are simply a waste of time. God became human for no other purpose. It's even doubtful, you know, whether the whole universe was created for any other purpose. It says in the Bible that the whole universe was made for Christ and that everything is to be gathered together into him." C.S. Lewis, calling a spade, the church exists for nothing else but to draw people into Christ, into Christ's love and life, to Christ's story for the sake of the world. And all the other stuff that might get in the way, as we talked about last time, a stumbling block, but we are to be open to how Jesus changes everything. Because yes, Jesus changes everything. I believe that. And so a few summary questions and journal questions for you to meditate on. Think of the people today from whom you are separated, divided, or estranged. Think about those people. And ask then, what's the problem? Think of the people whom you're separated, divided, or estranged, and what's the problem? Number two, what resentments, animosities, bigotries exist in you that perpetuate the divisiveness within the world? What resentments, animosities, bigotries, judgments exist in you and thus perpetuate the divisiveness in the world? And we could say, not just you, but within the community, within the system, within the church, within the world, right? And three, how can you reach out or seek reconciliation with others? How can you reach out or seek reconciliation, true reconciliation, metanoia, turning around, full new life? Those are some deep questions. There's a lot of wrestling there. But remember, Jesus speaks into the question that he's being asked, pointing to more questions, pointing to more mystery, but pointing to more life, expanding circles so that humanity can be unleashed, unstuck from where it is, so that all can be whole and well. All right, blessings to you out there in this great big world. I pray that you are blessed on this day as you wrestle and as you discern more on loving, who Jesus loves. Stay thirsty, my friends.